I want to turn to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's awful close to number one in my book. It's Mark, the 10th chapter, the last part of that chapter, please. Mark 10:46. One of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible, in my opinion. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Thou son of David, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his outer garment, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith made thee whole." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to talk about our needs. And I want to talk about the one that is able to take care of those needs. We have literal needs here tonight. Some have physical needs, and we have spiritual needs. Of course, your spiritual needs are your most important needs that you might have. A lot of people, though, don't take those sometimes very serious as they ought to. And our needs may vary from simple to serious. Sometimes we have literal needs that we have to wait and save for to get. If we're not careful, we'll do this spiritually, of waiting, playing around, instead of getting down to business, and these things hinder us. Yes. Now then, you and I must go to the right place to get needs filled. Yes. You don't go to a grocery store to get gasoline. I know they got your small mini marts, but I'm talking about your bigger stores. Somebody said, "Well, Walmart's got gas too," and some others. That's true, but basically you go to a grocery store for groceries. Now tonight, every one of us in here, we have all type of needs. I don't know what your needs are, but you know what your needs are. And Jesus knows what your needs are. He knows exactly why you come here. He knows all about everything that you have a need of. But the thing about it is you're in the right place to get that taken care of. No matter what it might be, Jesus is able to help you with any need that you might have tonight. You can go to doctors and they can help you in a physical need. You can go to psychiatrists and psychologists. They can help you in the mental side. You can go to rich people. You can get help. You can go to kings and queens and presidents and senators and congressmen and so forth. And those people can help you a lot and they can do you a lot of good. But there's one thing that they can't do, and that's a spiritual need. There's only one man named Jesus. By the power of God, by the working of the Spirit of God, that man named Jesus that died and shed his blood on the cross to give you victory tonight. He come here. He's moving here. He's working here. He's dealing here for you and I to get the help that you need tonight. But so many people want to keep putting it off. So many people want to keep walking away. So many people want to go out those doors and not get the help they need. But how many times have those people gone out and maybe not come back? Or gone out and never got the victory that they need? Maybe went on out into a deeper sin. All right, now blind Bartimaeus was blind. And he somehow heard of Jesus. Jesus was coming by. And he was sitting there waiting on him. And he was wanting Jesus' help. And he started crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." They tried to quiet him down, shut him up, but he wouldn't do it. He had a need. Listen tonight. If you was a blind man physically tonight, what would you do? Would you just sit by quiet if you knew the great King Jesus was coming by, able to heal you? You'd heard of this and being healed, and that being healed. And so consequently, you was waiting, thinking that I can get healing. I can get help. Would you sit by and say nothing? Would you sit there and do nothing when you knew that Jesus, the great King of Kings, you'd heard such magnificent things about him. If you knew he was coming by, what would you do tonight? I could be wrong, but I dare say if you was physically blind, there ain't very many people sit in their seat and be set there all the time. You'd be crying out. You'd be desiring some help. You would want somebody named Jesus to pay you some attention. You'd want to get the help that you need tonight, that he needed. So he kept crying. They tried to shut him up. And the more they tried, the louder he got. Listen tonight. It's time to sound out. Praise God. It's time to let Jesus know that you need some help. Praise the Lord. It's time to sound out and make your move to the throne of grace, to the feet of Jesus, wherever you need to get, praise God, to get the deliverance that you need tonight. Praise God. And Jesus stood still. And he commanded him. You can get a hold of Jesus today too. You can get a hold of Jesus. He said, they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he made his move, and Jesus answered and said to him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Now listen, folks, tonight, this is one of the greatest scriptures to me in the Bible, because this right here lets you know that there's not anything in the catalog of needs that he can't take care of tonight. He has all power in heaven and earth. He can do what no rich man, no president, no king, queen, senator can do tonight. He can touch, he can work, he can deliver, he can heal, he can supply financial needs. He can give you cars, houses, mansions. He can give you anything you need tonight if you're just willing to come to Jesus. Praise God. We go seeking help in so many ways. We reach out and go after things that we shouldn't go after. And Jesus is sitting there saying, come unto me. Labor heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. He's given the call tonight for you and I to move toward the one that can help you. What will thou that I should do unto you tonight? I want to help you. I got the power to help you. You've gone all these other places. What about the woman that had the issue of blood? She went after doctors for so many years. She sought help and sought help and sought help. And she only got worse and nothing better. Spent all that she had, wasn't it? And she was in trouble. She knew she was in trouble. There was no cure. The doctors could not do her any good. And she heard Jesus coming by. And she went up to him. There's another one that went through the press, pressed in among all of it. She didn't let them stop her, folks. Listen, folks, tonight, there's times that we try to get help and seem like we don't get it. And we try again, and we try again, and we try again. You want to get sanctified, or you want to get saved, or whatever it might be. Listen, folks, there's been some old-timers that didn't get sanctification the first time they went after. And the old general went up. The old General Sammons didn't get it the first time he went after. And I don't know how many more. But listen tonight. She went in the press. And she said, if I just must touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Oh, tonight she found her healing. She found her blessing in Jesus. Praise God. What will thou? He didn't invite her totally, but she went after it herself. I'm begging you tonight. It's time to go after healing. It's time to get deliverance. It's time to get the blessings that you need tonight. Praise God. We've waited too long. We've put it off meeting after meeting, Sunday after Sunday. But it's time now to move out to the one that's able to do what you need help for. Praise God. What will thou that I should do unto thee? I want to help you out tonight, children. Now, you remember what your children used to do, daddies. If they had a need, what'd they bring? Old Brother Ed over here one time, he made a statement in the pulpit, and might have not done me that way, might not even have children then, I don't know. But he said he felt, I believe, pretty small when one of his daughters brought up to him a latex balloon and said, "Here, Dad, fix that." You know, mine done that to me one time. I felt about that high. I can't fix that. Listen, there's a lot of people that have problems that doctors say, "I can't help you." I've heard them say, "I can do you no good anymore. My daddy come down." And the doctor said, "We can't do anymore for him. I've done everything I can do." I've never heard Jesus say that, praise God. Jesus is always saying, "I can help you, praise God. I can do what you need to do. What do you need? Come unto me tonight, and I'll give you what you need, praise God." Blind Bartimaeus got what he needed, didn't he? He just reached out and said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Let's go to Mark 10th chapter 17th verse. You move back a little bit here. And pray for us. "And when he was gone and forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said to him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me.' And he was sad at thy saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." This is quite a little story here. This young man, according to what is written here, lived a good life. He lived a better life than a multitude of people today. The Ten Commandments is being broke constantly all over this country. There are many people right now involved in illicit affairs. There are many people out there that's pulling guns and killing people. There are many people slipping in and stealing things. While we had somebody in the congregation, had a trailer, a small trailer, one you put mowers on and so forth, and they had it chained up, they had it sitting right there between the pickup and the fence over here and the other fence back here, went in the backyard, and they had that trailer there, and one night, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, the dogs started barking. Now, John got up. No, he didn't get up. He heard the dogs, but he didn't get up. He didn't check it out. And they got up the next morning. Some reason they went outside. There the trailer was gone. Well, Sister Joy, she's putting in a prayer request, "Lord, send the trailer back." Well, for some reason, he didn't choose to do it, and John had to buy another one. But there's a lot of people that's stealing. There's a lot of people that's lying, cheating, defrauding. There's many, many people that's not honoring the father and the mother tonight. Many people, thank you, young men, many people are not honoring their parent. There, I wouldn't know what the percentage is tonight, but I recently preached this on Mother's Day, that there would be a lot of people that wouldn't be in a sinner's grave tonight if they had honored their parents. If they had done what their mother and dad told them to do, if they would have respected not to go out there and get with the wrong group. Why in the USA Today, yesterday's paper, I believe it was telling how that there's a Crips gang moved right into Salt Lake City, Utah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? But there's gangs all over this country. There's problems everywhere, folks. We're not living in a rose society. We're living in a very down society. We're living in a society that's getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't think it's going to get any better. So this young man that lived a good life, he approached the one and only Jesus. And he said unto Christ, when Christ asked him, he said, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loves you tonight. He loves every one of us in this building. He loves you with a love that he died for you. When he appeared in that vision to me in 1985 and stood there in that archway door, when he looked straight at me, he said, I died for you, child. That took away the death for the whole world. That brought it down to Carl Schaefer. That brought it down to me. That let me know that if I was the only person that ever lived and would play, die in the whole world, Jesus saved his life for me alone. That's an awesome song. But tonight, he loves you. He died for you, every one individually. Amen. He loved this young man. He wanted to help this young man. He wanted to bless this young man. I don't care how much money you got. Listen, if you don't have the peace of God, you don't have anything. I told the young people what yesterday. I let them know my daddy had money, lived in a big home, had about anything I wanted, and I wasn't really spoiled, so to speak. I don't think I was anyway. I was the oldest child. I had too much responsibility. But the bottom line was this. When I met the young people and the saints of God, I found out there's something that I was lacking, and that was peace and joy and happiness. I didn't have it. I wasn't blessed with that. I had other things, but I didn't have that. This young man had a lot too, but he didn't have Jesus. He didn't have Jesus. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast. One thing thou lackest tonight. One thing. Do you know there's a lot of people going to hell over one sin? You don't have to be a great big bad sinner to be lost. Amen. You can go to hell over one theft. I was in a store, Charlotte, North Carolina, working for the Gillum Bats. I was in the belt store, Brother Philip. That was in that particular mall. It was the original belt store. I understand the whole belt chain. And I was there for a rework, if I remember right. And there had been a young lady, I'm going to say 16 to 18 years old. Evidently, she had got caught shoplifting. And I'm going to tell you, I saw her come out of that office with those security people. And I think there was a couple other grown-ups I took to be her parents. And that girl was shaking and trembling and crying. She was shook. She'd been caught. Listen, folks, you're caught. Amen. You're caught. Jesus has caught you, so to speak. And if what you need to do is admit that you're wrong. There's a lot of people that get up and go to trial, and sometimes they'll admit, I'm guilty. They see the handwriting on the wall. They see there's no sense of fighting this thing. They've got a witness there that can nail them to the wall. So consequently, I'm guilty. It's time to say I'm guilty tonight. It's time to quit hiding behind the facade. It's time to quit hiding behind the profession. It's time to quit hiding behind things that don't matter. It's time to get help tonight, praise God. The Lord wants to do something tonight. One thing thou lackest. Just one thing. Oh, tonight, the young man needed to forsake the world and all of his riches and follow Christ. There's too many young people hung up on the world and its riches. I wanted that too. I wanted the mansions. I wanted the pretty wife. Wanted the many cars. Wanted the money in the bank. That's what I was setting my scope for till Jesus found me along the way. And he began to work with me. And praise God, he didn't quit till this old fella humbled his heart beside his bed and started crying for mercy. I didn't know a whole lot, but I'm going to tell you, when I reached out, he reached down, and when he got through, I was pulled out, praise God. Oh, tonight there's a lot of people that just lack something tonight. One thing thou lackest, this young man was told. Is it salvation what you lack tonight? Is it real salvation? Is it sanctification? I've tried, Brother Carl, I've tried. But the bottom line is, do you have it? You can have it tonight. Jesus said, come. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I want to help you tonight, children. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of others. Unforgiveness is going to take a lot of people to hell. Oh, tonight, is it unforgiveness? Saints, are you lacking some grace for something? Do you need more love? Do you need more joy? Do you need more peace? Do you need more long-suffering? Do you need more gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance? What is it tonight, saints, that you knew, that you need? Oh, tonight, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The Lord knew this man was coming. He knew what this young man's needs were before he got there. And tonight, Jesus knows where you're at, and he knows what your needs are tonight. We can't cover it up. One man told me one time, he said he was a man I worked with, I was after him to go to a meeting and so forth, and I don't know if I ever did get him there. I don't remember ever getting LC to meet him, but I tried a lot. And he told me one night, he said, listen, he said, I can pull the wool over your eyes, but he said, I can't do Jesus that way. No way. You can't pull the wool over Christ's eyes. You may fool your mama, your dad, your grandparents. You may fool your husband, your children. You may fool the pastor to an extent, but you'll never fool Christ. He knows where you're at. He knows where this young man was. He knew what had this young man's heart. He knew what he had to do, bless your heart. And he nailed it. He nailed it. Now then, when Jesus nails it, he doesn't do it to be mean. He doesn't ask us to give up anything that would be a hindrance to us. He only wants us to give up what would hinder us. So tonight, whatever your need might be, in the spiritual realm now I'm talking about, if he's calling for it, he's doing it for your good. Amen. He's doing it for your good. He's wanting to help you. He's wanting to get the thing that would hinder you, slow you down, or trip you up down in the line. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. Oh, tonight the Lord knows how serious it is for you. Bitterness. Hebrews 12 and 15 talks about a root of bitterness. I want to turn there for just a moment. It said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, we get hurt. Somebody does us wrong, whatever you might say. And if you don't take care of that, bitterness is going to start a root. And I had this Brother Billy over here talking about cutting down a tree right by his house and so forth. I wasn't brave as you, bud. I was scared it hit my house. I didn't know how to cut that thing. I had a fence on one side and so forth, so I hired a company to come in and cut my tree down. And it got it out of the way. It took care of it. But they also cut some other trees, and one of them was a live little tree in a fence row. I had them cut it down. Guess what's popping back up? I looked down, and there's all kinds of little trees popping up from what's left of that tree that they cut out. All kind of little green, I mean beautiful little green things, just about that high. Ain't been that long. Boy, you're getting serious here. It don't take a root of bitterness long to start sprouting up. If you and I wait very long, it's going to be something that's harder to get out than it would be in the early state. Like I said, we want to put it off. We want to, I don't need to worry about this now. Let's wait a while. No. The quicker we can deal with it, the better. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I want to help you now. That's what these meetings are given for. for. That's why you're here, to get help. Sometimes you come and then you start backing up. Well, I'm going to get it when I get to Guthrie or to Monarch or Roger or whatever. I'm going to get that help when I get there. Then we get there and we start backpedaling. And Jesus is the one that ends up crying about the deal, so to speak, because he was thinking you were going to get help. He's called, he's asked, he's pleaded, he's begged, and yet you're still backing up on him. What will thou that I should do unto thee? I have the power to help you tonight. This young man went away. Said he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Can you tell me any place in the Bible where it shows that he got help? As far as I know, this young man went away and never come back. He never did get the deliverance. He never did get the blessings. Why, just sell what you got, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. The Lord could have called him in the ministry and made another Paul out of him. But no, he would not do what the Lord asked him to do. He chose his riches over his spiritual riches. Oh, tonight the Lord... One thing thou lackest, young man. One thing. What are we lacking tonight? What do we need tonight? We must see ourselves. When we get in these meetings, the Lord does everything he can do to show us ourselves, but we got to look at ourselves too. We need to look with an honest eye, as best we can, and say, I do have a need. Alcoholics cannot get help really until they admit they're an alcoholic. A drug addict, a gambler. Listen, we're so full with gambling casinos in the state of Oklahoma. I've got one, I go by my house. We've got one about, I don't know, what, 1,000 feet from the chapel down there. We've got them all over the place. They're so saturated in Shawnee, you can't hardly go anywhere without running into a casino. And you can go by there all hours, day or night, and the cars are in that parking lot usually, especially the big boys. And there's thousands and thousands of people that's addicted to that stuff. I asked somebody one time, I said, how? I said, you do not have to go out of your house and go there. You don't have to go to that casino. They said, oh, yes, I do, Carl. I said, why? Why do you have to step out that door? I don't maybe totally understand it, but that addiction to that stuff is so strong, it just about pulls them out of the house down there. And they go and they spend everything. They lose. A friend of mine that's a businessman in the town of Shawnee, he said a lawyer told him, he said, you'd be shocked that you knew the damage that stuff's doing to our town. Shocked at what gambling is doing to the town of Shawnee. I'm going to tell you, it's not only Shawnee, but it's Oklahoma City. It's all around the whole country anymore. There's major, major casinos. Cynthia Ann was telling me, talking to her the other day. It was a birthday time. And I said, well, if Derek's going to take you, get you a steak dinner tonight. She said, well, I really don't know where we're going. Well, she ended up getting way more than a steak dinner. She got the big iPad to go along with the dinner. And she said, Dad, she said, if you want a good meal in this town, it's nearly every one of them is connected to a casino. And I'm flabbergasted. But she said, out here, they're not like Fire Lake. They're little buildings. Nothing like the huge ones of the Fire Lake Grand or the Fire Lake down there by the chapel. Nothing like that. But she said they're small ones. But right next to them, connected to them somehow, is a steakhouse or a seafood house or whatever. And they're connected to it. She said you can go in a door and not have to go into the casino. But she said that's still a connection there. I said, oh. And I was going to take her to get her steak dinner if I ever get out there. Going to do that, but I don't know, it kind of caught me by surprise. But anyway, tonight, gambling is ruining this country. Gambling is destroying. The addiction of that thing is so strong. And Jesus said, there's so many people. This one person I was talking about a while ago, they tried to go to Gamblers Anonymous, I think it's called. They tried to go there and tried to get help. But do you know, they kept feeling they were better than the other people in the room because I wasn't as bad as they was. Now listen, folks, when you lose everything you got and your brother has to pick you up off the street, that's getting pretty bad. That's getting pretty bad, bless your heart. Oh, tonight, I'm going to tell you one thing thou lackest. Listen tonight. There is people out there that need to see their condition. You need to see where you're at. You need to admit where you're at. You need to get out and say, I am an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm a gambler. Whatever it might be, I'm a smoker. You need to admit that. Whatever your need is tonight, you need to admit it. This rich young ruler would not admit that he was hung up on riches. He did not want to walk away from that. He didn't see the wrong in it. The Holy Ghost has tried to show you the wrong over and over and over, and you just keep paddling around it, so to speak, and not admitting anything. Listen, it's time to come to admittance tonight. It's time to admit I am what I am, and it's not by the grace of God. It's by myself. I'm in trouble. I need help. I need deliverance. I need to be blessed by Jesus Christ, the righteous tonight. Let's go to John 3 and 27. Time's getting away. Men, clocks never have got along when I got to preaching. They fly, I fly faster, I preach, the faster they go, seems like. John answered and said, 3 and 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us to see where our help comes from. Now, everything you've got, there's a lot of people that have a lot of natural gifts. They could preach without being called. They could sing without being called. They could do a lot of things without a real divine calling. They have that natural ability, that natural gift, so to speak. So anything you've got tonight has come from God. But tonight this just accentuates what I'm trying to tell you tonight and get across to you. Your victory tonight, you can't get it by yourself. There have been people that tried to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and didn't make it. There have been people that have done all kinds of ways to get deliverance or whatever. Tried this, people tried to quit smoking. They tried various methods. They tried to quit drinking. Tried various methods. They tried to quit doing various things, and they couldn't do it. And the reason was they wasn't going to the right source. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I'm not saying that AAA doesn't help people sometimes. Our Gamblers Anonymous, I'm not saying that. But I know a man by the name of Jesus that has never had a failure yet. If you'll come to him, he'll help you. If you'll come to him, he'll bless you. If you come to him, he'll deliver you. He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. Listen, he can do what nobody else can do. He's got the power of deliverance. He doesn't have to think or send you to another specialist or put you over here, put you over there, or put you in another room. He just does it, praise God. He said, I have all power. Praise the Lord. All power to deliver you. Have you ever known a case yet that he hadn't worked with? Do you ever know a case yet that he hadn't won? Do you ever know a case yet that he hadn't delivered? Tonight he can do it. All you got to do is come to him. All you've got to do is come to him tonight. He wants to deliver you. Revelation, the third chapter, toward the end of that chapter, 14th verse. 3 and 14 of Revelation. What's your needs tonight? Some's got a few, some's got several. But people tonight have needs. You come to this meeting with some needs. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou were hot or cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He said, I know thy works. You're neither cold. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. You know why that he wants a person either cold or hot? Because they know where they're at. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. There ain't a worse place to be than right there. You need to be cold. You need to be hot. You do not need to be lukewarm. How many of you like lukewarm water for a cocoa drink or something? All right now. People like it hot. They don't even like it. Well, I guess you could have cold cocoa. I mean, you mix you up and that's as quick as you can have that cold, I guess. But if you go the line of coffee, a lot of people want it hot. Or at least they don't want it lukewarm. I've dumped out pots of coffee through the years, poured that stuff out, and it was cold or maybe lukewarm, and guess what? They weren't drinking it. They left it right there in the pot for old Carl R. to come by and take care of it. So I'm dumping it out in the sea, pot after pot of lukewarm coffee, because they wouldn't drink it, see? I've dumped their cups out and thrown them in the trash because they wouldn't touch it. Jesus will spew you out if you get in a lukewarm condition. He will not put up with the fact that he cannot deal with you. You will find yourself in a very sad position, and you may not recognize it at first just what's happened. But listen, folks, you won't have what you think you got. I've known people. One of them was in this congregation years ago. He's dead now. He was my Sunday school teacher when I first got saved in 1971. I loved that man dearly. I loved his wife. I married his first cousin. Her first cousin. His wife's first cousin. Married Rebecca. They were cousins. I'll get it right directly. Sorrows can be a big family. But anyway, I loved him dearly. And I've heard him testify that he fooled around and he lost it. He said it was so gradual, folks, I didn't even know that I was losing the Spirit of Christ. And he said, I woke up one day and I found myself totally backslid. Totally backslid. There is people out there that have fooled around and got themselves into a bad position with Christ, and he's spewing them out of their mouth, out of his mouth. Oh, tonight, you need to be hot or you need to be cold. Where are you at tonight? And then it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I'm fine. I don't have need of thing. I'm just really rip-roaring and going. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? So I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Now, Brother Rodney hit on this other night, this 18th verse. How many of you have ever seen bars of gold? Brother Jerry Shane did it. I've seen small stacks of it.
So many like this, angled up like this, and a bar on top. That stuff is worth so much now, I don't even know what a bar of gold would be worth. It's very, very expensive right now. So consequently, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold. I want you to spend, to do whatever you need to do, no matter how much it costs, I want you to buy this. Listen, folks, salvation doesn't come cheaply, especially if we've had it, we've lost it, and it spews out of his mouth. Jesus said the wrath of God abides on people that are not saved. It goes with them all the time. If you've got yourself in a position like that, listen, he's saying, I want you to spend something. I want you to do what you need to do. I want you to buy you some gold, bless your heart. And I want you to give everything it takes to get it. I don't want you to shortchange. I don't want you to... I don't want you to get off easy. I want you to give everything. Rebecca and I drove by Fort Knox one time. You know what Fort Knox is?
Yeah.
That's where they say the gold is stored.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how big Fort Knox was. The size of the building shocked me, so I come to the conclusion if there's any gold in there, most of it had to be down below somewhere. Had to be underground because the building itself wasn't very big. If that's where they said the gold was, it wasn't a very big building. And maybe it was the right building. But anyway, I told Becky, I said, maybe it's underground, sweetheart, so and so. I'm going to tell you tonight, you need to buy you some gold. To buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. It's time to get back to where you was at. It's time to get the blessings you used to have. It's time to have the glory that you used to have. White raiment, it's time to put on the robe of righteousness, praise God, that thou mayest be clothed, not in your own profession or your own testimony, but robed in the robes of Christ, praise God. The robe, the power, the glory. Have what you used to have. Listen, people, fool around and let it get away. It's time to get it back tonight, praise God. Anoint thine eyes. It's time to get something where you can see, praise God. Said, many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He's trying to do that. We need to listen. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore. Get busy. Do it now. Don't wait. A number of years ago, in the old chapel, a good service was going forth one night. There was conviction, there was altar work, and a young man walked out of that chapel. My brother went after him and tried to get him to come back in and get saved. He wouldn't do it. About 2 weeks from that date, if I remember right, I was at the print shop, and the call come through that this young man had drowned. Got caught up in a whirlpool in the cottonwood, or what's that other?
Cimarron.
Got caught in a whirlpool at Cimarron and drowned. He didn't leave a testimony, folks. He was right there. The Lord had dealt with him. He could have had it, but he walked away from it. And as far as we know, he never got back. Never got back. Brother Leslie knows who I'm talking about, and some others do too, but some of you young enough, you don't know this man. This young man he was at that time. But I stand, I call. Oh, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. I want to bless you. I want to be close to you. I want to have an intimate relationship spiritually with you. All right, let's close in Psalms 40. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Blind Bartimaeus needed help. Psalm 40:17 of the good book of Psalms. I am poor and needy.
Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I am poor and needy tonight. I'm real humble. I'm real needy. We need to see ourselves as that away. We need to see how needy we are. We need to see how poor we are, so to speak. We need to get out and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I need some help. I've gone on. I've professed on. I've done this and done that. And I don't have it. I need to get what I need. I need it. I need you, Lord. I'm tired of going on the way that I am going. The Lord thinketh upon me. I have always been thankful that when I climbed in that car at midnight that night and headed toward the house about midnight, dear Lloyd Eck had worked with me till he was give out nearly. And I kept resisting. I wouldn't give in. He told me, he said, if you'll just get out here, call, just humble your heart and pray and kneel right here. Now you can get it now. I know you can. I wouldn't do it. But the Lord was thinking on me. And he was thinking thoughts of, if I just keep working with him, I can get that young man. So when I got in the car, he sat down beside me. He's taken a lot of car rides with me, praise God. And I tell you, I've gotten victory and been blessed over and over and over. He told me one time, right going out of Guthrie here, I was singing the Lord. I sought counsel from a minister. He told me what to do. And in my mind, I thought, that ain't what I'm going to do. That's not what to do. The Lord sat down in the car. He backed up the minister, bless his heart. He said, what you need to do, young man, is humble your heart to the bottom. You need to get out flat out. And that's what I did. And I got the victory. You need to get out. Oh, tonight we need to get out. Brother Herschel put it this way one time. He said, some people approach the altar coming in a chair. And he said, you need to crawl up to the altar like a crawl on your belly like a snake. He said, you need to kind of just get up there just as low as you can get instead of riding down here. Here I come. What was it, like Nicodemus? No, not Nicodemus, but the one in the Old Testament that had the leprosy. Naaman. You know, he got all upset because, boy, he could have done this and done that. He told me to go dip in that old muddy Jordan or muddy place. Why, master, if he had told you to do this, wouldn't you have done it? Well, yeah. I just didn't like what that minister said. I just didn't think I ought to do it that way. The Lord backed him up, put me right down where I need to be, and when I done it, I got it. But I had to get down there. I'm thankful tonight the Lord's thinking upon you tonight. The Lord is thinking upon you. He's thinking good thoughts towards you. He's thinking thoughts of love and mercy and pity and compassion towards you tonight. He says, I want to help you. But you got to come. You got to reach out. He wants to give you what you need tonight. And then he says, thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. I want it right now, Lord. Make no tarrying. If you'll move, he's already ready to move. He's ready to help you. What happened when the prodigal son started home? What did the daddy do? Didn't he go toward him? He saw him coming and he went out toward him. He wanted to get there to that boy. That son had been gone and he had been hurting and wishing and desiring to come home. And now here he comes. And dad was beating him more than halfway, so to speak. The Lord will meet you halfway. More than halfway. Let's stand. I'm coming home. I don't know what that number is. Time to pray tonight. A lot of needs here tonight. Don't go away and not get them fulfilled and taken care of, I pray. We appreciate your time and attention, your prayers tonight.